You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Hello, welcome again to Riverside. My name is Keith. I'm one of the leaders around our church, and we're continuing now on in our sermon series to the book of Revelation. And today we're actually now transitioning to the second vision of Revelation, which is found in chapter 4. Let me just say this. Chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation are incredible. They're amazing. I'm not saying the other chapters of Revelation aren't good. They're good. But these two chapters, these next two chapters are absolutely incredible. And friends, you're going to need to have your imagination ready today, okay? You'll need your imagination ready because this vision we're going to read about in chapter 4, it uses the word like a lot. Because really what the author John is trying to describe, it's so magnificent that the words he's going to use don't do it justice. In this chapter, you're going to hear about a voice that sounds like a trumpet. It's not a trumpet, it sounds like a trumpet. We're going to read about colors that are like an emerald. The landscape will be described as like a sea of glass. There are going to be beasts in this chapter, but they're really hard to describe. And so the author's going to say, oh, this was like a lion, or it's like an ox, or like a man, or like a flying eagle. So friends, let me just say, the vision that we're about to read, it is so grand, and it is so hard to describe. It's going to take some imagination on our part. We have some work to do this morning, so don't sit back passively as I read today's text. Try to picture it. Try to experience what John, who wrote it, would have been experiencing when this second vision came his way, okay? And so before we read today's text, let's ask the Spirit of God to open up our hearts and our minds for what he has for us and open up our imaginations and how we can hear and respond to the scripture this morning. Would you pray with me? Holy Spirit, wow. What an amazing, amazing passage we get the privilege of coming to and learning from and responding to. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would open up our hearts to your scriptures, our heart to your heart, our heart to your kingdom, our heart to heaven, and our heart to the worship going on around your throne right now. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Revelation chapter 4, starting verse 1. Hey, Benji, can you turn these lights right here on so I can make sure I see these people's eyes? I like to be able to preach and see your eyes. It helps me. Nice. Now I can tell if Phil's sleeping or not. All right, chapter 4, it really is all about Phil. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says this, after this. Now, that word after this is pointing to the previous content we just saw, right? Chapter 1, we saw amazing picture about Jesus over and over again. Chapter 1, about how awesome Jesus is. Then chapters 2 and 3, we saw how Jesus is actively walking among his church, how Jesus is actively working among his church, how Jesus is actively forming his church. So after those things that we've already seen about in this series, then John gets a new vision. And as I read this chapter, try to picture this in your head. Try to picture this. After this, after we just talked about, I looked, and before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard at first, speaking to me like a trumpet, now said this, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. And at once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there on that throne had the appearance of jasper and ruby, and a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. And surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white. They had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne were seven lamps that were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. They were covered with eyes in the front and the back. And the first living creature, it was like a lion. The second living creature was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. But day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, well, then the 24 elders, they get off their throne. They fall down before him who sits on the throne. They worship him who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns down before the throne. And they say, "You are worthy, O Lord and God. You're worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created, and by your will, they have their being." I mean, wow, right? Now, here's the deal. I'm just going to focus on one element found in today's passage, okay? And then the following weeks of Advent, we'll walk through this chapter slowly. So we're going to spend a few weeks here, okay? But today, there's just one central item in this chapter. Really, we see this item throughout all of Revelation that I want to focus on. It's the throne. The throne of God is a mega theme. It's a mega theme we see in all of Revelation. It's a central element in which everything in Revelation centers around. So I told you that we started the sermon series. Who's the focus of Revelation? Jesus, right? Jesus is the focus of Revelation. And the central element that we'll see Christ use a lot or be on a lot is the throne. It's a central element, if you will. The throne is mentioned in 17 out of 22 chapters. It's all over the place. It's mentioned 13 times in just this chapter alone. In reality, the throne of God is mentioned throughout the entire Bible. And friends, let me just, I said this a lot in this series. I got to say it again. Here's the key to interpreting Revelation. If we don't keep the throne of God and the one seated on that throne front and center, we're going to miss the point. So many people come to Revelation and they break out their timelines. They say, "Okay, it lines up here," or "What if this lines up here? What I have this interpretation, that interpretation," which is, I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying if you start there and you don't start with the throne of God and Jesus as the king on that throne, you'll miss a lot. If you start with your newspaper next to Revelation instead of this vision of Christ seated on the throne as the king, you're going to miss the point of Revelation. You'll miss the perspective. And that perspective then is important as we then do come to our newspapers, as we then do talk about how things play out in the quote-unquote end times. I'm not saying those aren't important. I'm just saying the throne and the one on the throne is the key to interpreting all of this. And now, guys, I must tell you, I don't think this is a confession. This is simply just an observation I will let you in on. I have a throne myself. I have a throne. In my house, there's this very special chair. It's this leather reclining chair. And everyone in my house knows that's Dad's chair. It's Dad's throne, if you will. I sit in this chair every morning when I'm reading my scriptures in the Bible. I sit there when I come home from work. I put my feet up to kind of unwind from a long day. I sit there before I go to bed at night to unwind, to kind of just read a book before I go to bed. In many ways, this is my personal little throne and my personal little kingdom called my home. And then, this might cause you to gasp. The other day, I came home to find this on my throne. Can you imagine the audacity of my son, Ben? My son, Ben, had the audacity to think he could casually sit on my throne. And as you can imagine, there's only one who can sit on the throne. There's only one owner, right? There's only one king of the household. There's only one who's worthy to sit on the throne. And my son, Ben, thought he could just sit back and lounge in my throne. Silly kid. You know what happened when I got home, right? With total love and total kindness, I wrestled him and I tickled him until he got off my chair so I could retake my rightful place. I know he's in high school now, but I just tickled him until he got off the throne. I also have a special chair at the head of our dining room table. It's like my second throne. And as you can believe, then sometimes my daughter, she sits in my second throne. She, like, that's my chair. She just quite often tries to sit there. I kick her out of it. I say, Anna, you're gone. I bounce her out of there quite a bit. But you can, I'm joking, but you can kind of see how chairs can be, you know, special, right? A chair can be a special, sacred place. And in Revelation, Jesus is at the center, and Jesus has his special chair. It's his throne. It's a central item that we see happening in this book. It's the central, if you will, prop of the book. And of course, a throne is where a king sits, right? A throne signifies authority. A throne is the center of the rule of government, isn't it? The throne of the king is the center of where all government rule is. And by the way, this majestic picture of God's throne throughout the entire Bible, it's not just Revelation. For example, in Isaiah 6:1, and as I read these few verses from the Old Testament, keep your imagination going, okay? Keep trying to picture this. Don't listen in a dry, detached way. Let your imagination picture this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I mean, so much glory, so much of God exalted that the entire temple is filled with his glory. How about 1 Kings 22:19? Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the multitudes of heaven standing around him on his right and standing around him on his left. Or Psalm 47:7, for God is the king of all the earth. Sing to him a song of praise. God reigns over the nations and God is seated on his holy throne. He rules over all the governments, over all the nations. Do you guys get this picture of our God is the king? And he's seated and he's reigning on his throne. It's all over the Old Testament. But really, Revelation chapter 4 is specifically pointing back to one passage in the Old Testament. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, here's some important background you got to understand about Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, when it was written, the Jewish people were in exile. Things looked terrible. The Babylonians had come in and taken Ezekiel and other Jewish leaders into exile. The temple, the treasures in the Jerusalem temple had been plundered. So it looked like things were not going well. Like even like the people's temple all had been plundered. Major issues going on the earth and things looks really bad. Things look like it's out of control, like God's not reigning, like God's not ruling, God's not in power. And then Ezekiel gets this vision. And this is the vision that Revelation chapter 4 borrows from heavily, given to a people in exile, given to a people struggling against a worldly oppressive government, given to a people struggling to persevere in their faith and trust a powerful reigning God. In this vision, then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. And above the vault over their heads was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be from his waist up, he looked like glowing metal. Like glowing, I don't, can you picture this? As if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire and brilliant lights surrounded him. Like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So is the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell face down. And I heard the voice of the one speaking. That's a pretty understandable response, right? When you come before a king, especially a king like that on the throne, face down, right? And at that point, your context doesn't matter that much. Your situation doesn't matter that much because you're in front of greatness. To a people in exile, this is the vision given to them of a king and reigning. And by the way, people in Revelation, we've gone through their letters, right? Varying different situations, because you imagine what the vision of a king this great would do to the people from the seven letters that we just read about the previous 7 weeks. There's this majestic picture of God's throne throughout the entire Bible. And again, in chapter 4, we get a very similar picture, one of flashing lights and amazing splendor and supreme greatness all around the throne of God. So with that said, there's a lot of amazing stuff in this chapter. Today, I'm just talking about the throne, but I wanted to give you a sneak peek of how we're going to walk through this chapter the next coming weeks. And by the way, it's all going to center around the throne of God, because that's what this chapter centers around. So next week, the first Sunday of Advent, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2, where Jesus invites John to come up. There's this open door, and John's invited to come up to be near Jesus on the throne. We'll talk about how that is very similar to Advent. We're being invited to be near Jesus. The following week, we'll look at verses 3 and 6, 3 through 6. We're going to see all the amazing things that happen around the throne and what comes from the throne. Amazing things come from the throne of God in those verses. And by the way, of course, we'll talk about then 2,000 years ago on that first Christmas, what came from the throne. God himself left the throne. What came from the throne was the Son of God moving into the neighborhood, becoming one of us. Incredible, incredible implications during Advent. The third Sunday of Advent, we'll look at our response towards the throne. We see a worship response. Then on the final Sunday of Advent, we'll start into chapter 5, where we're going to see who is truly worthy on the throne, the one who's worthy on the throne. This, of course, will all tie to the Christmas season, because Christmas is all about the King of the world, right? The King of the world who loved us so much, leaving the comforts of that throne and joining us down here on earth. And so that's where we're going to be going this Advent season, as we're going to root in this glorious, glorious chapter that ties very well to Advent and ties extremely well to our everyday lives. But today, today is typically called Christ the King Sunday. The last Sunday before Advent is called Christ the King Sunday. I want us to focus on the King, right? The one with the throne. The one who is powerful, the one who is good. And we all have one of two options with this, friends. You get one of two options. You either come to him and bow down to the one who's on the throne, he's good and he's gracious and he's the king, or instead you can not bow down to the throne. You can continue living in a wayward life of chaos and of rebellion against the King of the throne. But really, friends, there's only two options. When you're among greatness, there's only two options. So friends, I guess my question for all of us individually, but also us as a church corporately, where are you and where are we in relation to the throne of Jesus? Are you near it? Are you near the throne? And by the way, the King is also our dad. So here's the beautiful thing. You can sit on your dad's lap, right? You'll see next week, he invites John up to be with him. So all joking aside, my sons and my daughter, they're always welcome to come sit on my lap when I'm on my chairs. Now, they're teenagers. They think they're too cool for that. I really don't think you're ever too cool to sit on your dad's lap. You hear that, block of kids? You're never too cool to come sit on Pop's lap. And friends, the same is true for us. The King invites us up. Oh, I can't wait till next week. The open door, and he says, John, come up. Come up. Ooh. And you also will see in the rest of Revelation, virtually every chapter mentions the throne, because when Revelation was written, there was a competing empire with the throne. Did you know that? There's a thing called the Roman Empire that had a competing claim to supremacy and authority. The Roman throne. The claim was that Rome had the power. The claim was that Rome had the authority. The claim that was Rome had the final say and that Rome was in control. And there was a significant struggle we've already read about in the seven churches. Who gets to call the shots? Who has ultimate power? And this led to significant struggle of where the people put their hope, where the people put their trust and their faith and their allegiance. Will it be in the throne of God and the one on the throne, or will it be on the reigning government of Rome? Yeah, imagine these people, they get this letter then, and it's centered all around the worship of God on a throne and his government called the Kingdom of God. And you can realize how this would reorient their lives in the midst of a very powerful, all-encompassing, all-demanding allegiance country like Rome. So again, friends, the question in all of Revelation is, where is our allegiance? Who's our Lord? Where do we orient our lives towards? So with all that said, today's Christ the King Sunday, so I just want us to focus on the fact that we have a living, reigning, awesome, powerful, wonderful King. So at this point, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to reread chapter 4, because you don't need me to preach more at you. I want us to hear this chapter again. And please use your imagination. Picture this. John is like trying to describe the best he can. Funny pictures, but it's hard to describe. I mean, oh. So I'm going to read this one more time, and then we're going to respond by singing through some songs together to our reigning King who right now sits on his throne. The words will not be on the screen, so I just want you to listen. After this, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had heard at first speaking to me like a trumpet came and said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once, I, John, I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on this throne. And the one who sat there had this appearance of jasper, and ruby, and a rainbow that shone like an emerald and circled the throne. And surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of the sevenfold Spirit of God. And in front of the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and eyes in the back. And the first living creature, it was like a lion. The second was like an ox. And the third had a face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." And whenever living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, well, then the 24 elders, they fell down before him, aka they got off their thrones. They fell before him who sits on the throne. And they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns from their heads down before the throne. And they say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Jesus, it's incredible to think that right now this is going on. Right now this is going on. And also, right now, being that we are gathered in your name, here in this room and also virtually, that your special presence is among us. Your greatness is in the room. Your glory is among us. Your spirit is moving, and we invite you to have your way. God, I pray that my friends here who feel distant from you and your throne would know your invitation, would know your love, would know your goodness. God, I pray for those of us who are maybe more lax, I think, with your kingdom and have been more lax with your rule and with your authority and with your lordship, that we'd be woken up to the realities of the worship and to realities of your throne and the realities of your rule and your reign in our lives. And God, may we as a church body always keep you front and center. You are the lead pastor of this church. You are the head elder of this church. You are the leader of this church. You are the king of this people. You are the Lord of our lives. You're the Lord of our corporate body. We say, have your way. We're not going to respond by just joining our voices together as a way of just enjoying your presence, as a way of glorifying you and magnifying you and worshiping you. So have your way. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.